Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. Busy week in Missouri politics, and we are joined by the Speaker Pro Tem of the Missouri House of Representatives and Missouri businessman, John Wieman. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
So, shot out of a cannon, you come in, you deal with COVID stuff. Yeah, I mean, it has been a unique, I guess it's a fitting for the times, unique first few weeks in the Missouri House of Representatives.
Well, you know, I think you're partially correct, but it seems like every year I'm up there, it seems like it's the same thing. We always have something unusual that happens. So I kind of
consider this normal. Yeah, maybe it's your class, you're honor or something. It's just
it must be. It must be.
Let's talk first about the thing that's on everyone's minds: COVID. There was some interesting data. It's so funny. If you find a piece of data that makes Missouri look good, then you don't really read it in certain urban newspapers. You might read it on some Twitter accounts. Kind of stuff. If you find something that makes Missouri look bad at COVID, oh my God, it's headlines, it's top of the day. I guess someone somewhere in some liberal think tank found a statistic that they could hit Missouri with, and boy, they all pile on, don't they?
You know, a lot of times Missouri's at the bottom of the list of a lot of things. And in this situation with the vaccinations, we were at the bottom of the list for a little while, I think, and now we're moving back up. And, you know, the governor's doing a lot as best he can to try to distribute the vaccinations around the state and get it, you know, the needles in the arms as much as possible. And I think we're moving in the right direction. This past week or this week, the governor has reiterated that, you know, we're really getting the vaccinations out. We're getting them distributed in the right areas. I know there's a little bit of a tiff.
Well, it's interesting to me. It's not like this is a ERA challenge, or it's not like they're documenting RBIs. You know, here's the problem, I think, with government sometimes, and it's a problem the public brings on. If you want folks to go by these numbers, the government is going to game the system to the numbers instead of to doing an effective job. A little bit like teachers. If you want teachers to teach to the test, and that's how you're going to judge things, they're going to teach you that test. And that's just, if that's how your judge is doing a good job, then you're going to work towards that. Sometimes I think people get so wrapped up in the numbers, like in any given day, the numbers fluctuate because of the way the vaccines are distributed, the way the data is collected. You know, you need to probably take a breath sometimes and look at something like in your business. You don't look at day-to-day numbers, right? You're in the insurance business. No. You look at trends over 10 years, 20 years, and you do pretty well with it. And sometimes I think a little bit more business perspective might be helpful when analyzing the government's performance here.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I remind people, we just got the vaccinations approved, like in November of last year. They didn't start going out into distribution until the middle of December, and now we're in the early part of February, and everybody's expecting that we have 100% everyone has a vaccination. That's not realistic to have everyone have vaccinations. Part of the problem with Missouri's having is that I've been told we haven't received the same or our proportion of vaccinations compared to other states around the country. So that's been one of the things that we haven't gotten as a state. We haven't gotten enough vaccinations.
It's just my simple hillbilly prediction. But if there was a different president, let's say one with orange hair, that was in the White House and Missouri wasn't getting their share, oh my God, it would be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, probably. It just seems like you know, now that we're in a different administration and, you know, hopefully, you know, the president's come out and mentioned that this is one of his priorities. So we'll see if we can ramp up the vaccinations around the country. But I'm optimistic our governor he has made the right decisions, is moving in the right direction. You know, my area, St. Charles County, there 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on the phone making phone calls to the governor's office saying, hey, where are our vaccinations? We have 400,000 people in my county. And we're not getting hardly any
vaccinations. They all live pretty tight together, too, yeah.
And so, I know he's made some changes to make sure that we're getting our adequate supply of vaccinations.
Let's talk about the response to COVID. The legislature's in session now, and a lot of folks have some ideas on maybe to cut back the local control of the response to a vaccination. What's the House doing?
Well, the House is moving forward with legislation. I know the Senate as well, to try to really limit what the local health departments can do with regards to mandates and closing down and locking down businesses because of whatever the latest pandemic might be. You know, the problem is a lot of those local health departments are not elected by people. They're not accountable to people. And we want to make sure that if there's going to be decisions made to impact private businesses or any organization, that there needs to be some accountability from elected officials. And that's one of the things that we're doing, which also leads us into what we're doing with COVID liability.
Tell us what is happening. It seems like every time you hear about that, it's the bill moves, there's problems with it. Where does this bill end up?
Well, Missouri, you know, nothing is easy for us. We always seem to complicate things. And, you know, the COVID liability bill was moving along fairly well this regular session. We had a little misstep during a special session last year. But this year, it was moving along fairly well. And then the Senate had a little bit of a problem. They had a couple senators that got sick with COVID, and we had to kind of hold off a week or two. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We're waiting for the remaining senators to show up so we can get a vote on it.
You hear the lawyers, and the lawyers, I'm sure, are going to make money off it. That's what COVID liability means to them. They're either going to make money or not. You're a businessman. What does COVID liability mean to your business in St. Charles County?
Well, it's you know, for those who don't understand what we're trying to do, COVID liability is really protection for businesses and any organization that if someone were to come into your place of business, they could make the claim that they got contracted COVID and then sue your business from a liability standpoint, could sue you and say, hey, you're responsible for me getting COVID. And with COVID liability protection, it says that business, unless they were reckless or willful, or in some cases for like a religious organization, it was intentional, which is a very high bar of causation, they're protected from those claims.
So let's jump to the subject. We were going to have Senator Hawley join us for a few minutes today, but he had jury duty today. He couldn't pop in with us.
That's a civic duty.
You know, there is a thing, though. There's people that obviously there's some yahoos that lost control of the Capitol, and good Lord, they should. Everything that's coming to them, you just can't feel sorry for somebody that's breaking stuff at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. The folks that are working that day is paying taxes to fix that stuff. But there are serious questions about the election that are met by serious people. And take who won out of it. When you had a new system, which Missouri had some new voting rules because of COVID. Other states did too. Tell me about what Missouri's doing to look at the changes to Missouri law. And were those, did it work? Were they good?
Well, you know, we didn't have a lot of complaints about Missouri and our election results.
Because you guys won by so much, I think.
We did well. But I will tell you this. We have over 11 initiative petition pieces of bills that have been filed. One that was filed by Representative Don Roan has filed some election integrity bills, IP bills by Representative John Simmons. And so we have a lot of people trying to look at what we can do to make our election process even better. I think it's pretty good now. It's always room for improvement. Looking at trying to ensure we have paper ballots, making sure the machines that we use are not being able to be compromised. There's a lot of things.
So you want a paper ballot, so if there is a election, you can audit those paper ballots, right?
Correct.
Just like saving your receipts,
right? And a lot of counties already do that right now.
I think
Missouri.
I still owe you and half of Kansas City a beer over the Clean Missouri thing you guys won.
That's right.
I got to pay up on that.
But the initiative petition thing, that's another area where we're trying to look to try to protect the integrity of elections as well, because we want to make sure that every congressional district, because right now when you go to get signatures, you only need to get six.
They
out of
skip
eight.
The boot hill. That's what they skip. They always skip boot hill.
So we want to make sure they're collecting signatures from
bring
every
city folks down. Absolutely. And have them stand outside of the old Jim Hogs in Butler County and see if they can get signatures.
Right.
Be good for them. They can see the rest of the state. Let me just ask you the question: should it be harder to get something on the ballot?
It should be, depending on what it is. If it's a statutory change, I think it should be still the 50% plus one. And certainly the requirements to get signatures should be a little bit of a higher standard. When it's constitutional change, I think the bar should be much higher. It's very difficult to amend our United States Constitution. It should be just as hard to change our Missouri Constitution. And right now, that needs to be addressed.
You're in the Missouri House of Representatives. Tell me what you're doing on guns, because I know there's something.
Well, we're always doing something on gun legislation. I actually have filed two gun,
is that right?
Gun bills, and one is dealing with parking lot, business, a person who has their own gun and they're driving to work and they want to be able to carry that gun with them. They have concealed carry license, but when they get to their place of business, if their business says, hey, no guns are allowed on our property, they can't even leave their gun in their own personal vehicle while they're parked at work. And so that bill will address that.
See, a lot of times when you say guns in the Missouri House, people snicker. That actually makes common sense to me.
Yeah, it's common sense. And another one, which is really, I just filed it earlier this week. It's House Bill 1068, endorsed by the NRA. This one deals with protecting firearms and firearms-related businesses. So during an emergency, they're considered essential businesses. You can't shut them down. So and it really goes to the fact of protecting our Second Amendment rights and making sure that governments can't go in and lock down firearms or firearms-related businesses.
Interesting. Now let's talk taxes. It's always, to me, I hear a lot of Republicans, a lot of them talk about creating jobs. You've actually created jobs. You actually employ people. Mm-hmm. What can you do to help with the tax burden in this state?
Well, you know, every year we looked at ways to try to reduce taxes in Missouri. One of the things that I'm looking at doing, it's kind of a little bit of a teaser for next week, but I'm planning to file a bill on Monday that will be looking at addressing our personal property taxes. And I know there's another senator that from my county, mm-hmm. Senator Igel, has filed a bill, and I'll have one similar to his. But on Monday, you'll find out more about the details of that bill. But we're going to file that bill and kind of take a look at that. But I think Missouri legislature...
Kind of a Valentine's Day gift for Missouri taxpayers.
It will be a Valentine's gift. and so certainly we're looking at ways to try to, where we can, try to make sure we can lessen the tax burden on Missouri, Missourians and Missouri businesses. And one of the things we're also, hopefully we can get done this year, is dealing with the Wayfair tax. We want to make sure that we, you know, for online sales, sales tax, we want to make sure that we're applying the tax fairly across all.
It just makes no sense. I mean, it seems like there's some Republicans and Democrats, somewhat ideologues, fighting over pennies. When you have folks that sponsor the T-ball team, they buy the ad in the school yearbook. They have the business. To have a business in Jeff City, the documentation of paperwork, it's like a phone book you have to fill out. And those businesses are doing all these burdens, and all these bureaucrats are managing the heck out of this, and Amazon's making a killing. It just makes no sense to me that the state isn't mandating these taxes be paid. They're fighting over details.
Well, the tax is already there. That's some of the argument we have with some of our conservative friends, is that, well, that's a new tax. It's not a new tax. The tax has been on the books. It's
most of those folks, they never ran a business.
Correct. And that is, you know, a situation where we have to do a little bit of education. But but the bottom line is that tax is not a new tax. It's just not being applied across the board.
Can a businessman like you walk in and almost go Trump on him and say, you people are fighting over pennies, over details for some ideologues. Let's get this thing done.
Well, we're going to try to do that this year, Scott. I don't like to make promises about what my other colleagues will do. I know for me, this is pretty much a no-brainer. I think the issue, too, has been we don't want it to be a major tax windfall for the state, certainly local control.
It strikes me that the folks that argue with businessman John Mean would be people that don't run businesses.
Well, there's a fair amount of that, but like I said.
Well, we hope you'll come back and update us on the status that the session goes on.
Thank you, Scott.
Speaker of the House, Speaker Pro Tem of the House, John Weeman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. My personal Valentine, David Barclays, joins the show after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople, while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work. Ameren, Missouri.
Welcome back to Week in Missouri Politics. Representative Tracy McCreary in St. Louis County. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Tony Lovasco, St. Charles County. First time on the show. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And my personal Valentine, David Barclays. Welcome back to the show, sir. Let's talk about COVID response. You know, it's funny. You see, anytime there's a statistic, somebody can hang negatively to make Missouri look bad. The liberals jump on it, throw a big fit. I think it gets under the governor's skin a little bit. But really, we're kind of moving on. I mean, that's something like the media cares about, is kind of playing to the numbers. The legislature moved on to talking about how are they going to respond to lockdowns if there's another pandemic. Right now, the legislature's pretty decided on they're going to move to limit local authority on that.
Look, I think
there needs to be taking a lot of stock of what we learned the first time,
yeah,
and to reapply it. And look, I think we've got to be a little kinder to politicians on both sides because it was a pandemic. No one had grown up in one and everything else, and you had science versus sociology mm-hmm. versus politics. And the COVID vaccines are a great example. You had us rushing it, getting it done.
Yep.
It's now in the hands of people, but make it American that we then use politics to slow down distribution. And Canada, everywhere in the state, it's doing well. But in St. Louis, which is a little different animal, the politics, I think, have interfered. Communication, I think, has really driven a problem. You've got Dr. Garza, who's sort of the new Dr. Phil, at least in his mind. And I think a lack of communication has hampered it. But look, you haven't heard between Sam Page, the governor, Steve Ellman, Brinker, Gannon, any partisan discourse.
That's
so
right.
I think the region is close. I think it's a communication issue. I think they are learning from that. I think only here do we want to bring equity and all these other arguments in to distributing vaccinations. I think if all you did was to open up lines and let anybody come and get them, there wouldn't be one vaccination that wasn't going smooth every day. But the fact that we have to qualify so many people, it's going to slow the process down, right or wrong.
Representative, I watched someone you know very well, Senator Shoup. The COVID debate ended in the Senate with Senator Kaney and Senator Shoup going back and forth. I mean, you had Senator Shoup say she has her family members beg her not to come to the Senate. And you had Senator Kaney saying, well, I've had COVID. You take a risk. It is truly, these people represent the same towns, actually.
Right.
But they have very different views of the issue.
Well, and I think one of the challenges we face is the St. Louis region, which includes Jefferson County, Franklin County, for example. This whole region, St. Louis, makes up 37% of the population, yet recently we've only received 17% of the vaccine supply. So it has a lot of people in both parties on edge because we want to do what's best for our constituents. We want to get that vaccine out safely, quickly, but also we want there to be equity involved in that. And the good news is I think some of these debates that we've been having, I heard good news that the state of Missouri is going to be sending more vaccine supply to the St. Louis region this week.
You think Chick-fil-A should just be in charge of this? I mean, those people can get folks through a line like I've never seen. Well, Representative, it looks to me like the Senate's going to come up with something, but I get the sense the House is going to come up with a very much, probably a stiffer, more direct thing. You just can't do this anymore.
I think that's the direction we're definitely headed. I think the discussion has shifted a little bit from what's reasonable to what's reasonable for government to be doing at all. We got a little bit in the weeds, I think, when it came to the beginning of this pandemic. There was a lot of debate about things like, does the Sunshine Law apply to open meetings during this, that sort of thing. It was a very slow rollout. And then all of a sudden, people started kind of really panicking and deciding, hey, we got to do something now. And I think we all know that when politicians want to do something now, they tend to go a little overboard.
Probably all of us, right? If you're going to do something quick, it's probably not going to be, what's the old saying, measure twice, cut once. If you're in a hurry, it's probably not going to be as good, right?
For the record, I got to correct Tracy, and it's not because she knew she was wrong. I think there has been a delay in data, but the data that I've gotten this morning shows that St. Louis is literally at their 37% parity. And I think it's not Tracy's fault, but I think that the lack and flow of information is confusing everybody, because when you look at the governor signing additional 3,000 coming in this week, and you look at some of the other reporting where they've clawed back, they're actually hitting their 37.
I'm still going to agree with Tracy, but I would say it looks to me like people are wanting to view this information almost like you would view an ERA for a pitcher. You're wanting to do it in the moment when probably if you take back, if you want the government to game to the stats, they will, just like teachers have to game to a test because that's how they're judged. You want them to game to getting the most vaccine out, right? And maybe you need to take a step back and view this in a week-by-week thing as opposed to a day-by-day or an hour-by-hour thing.
That's a good point. I think, like Representative Velasco said, we just ultimately have to stop with the fighting and have to figure out how government can work with these, private companies that are supplying the vaccine to do what's best for Missourians, quite frankly. It doesn't stop the fighting, and let's figure something out.
Representative, I had the Speaker Pro Tem, John Weeman, on. I said, you're in the House. I know you're doing something on guns. What is it? What is happening in the Missouri House on guns?
So we just passed out of the House the Second Amendment Protection Act. Mm-hmm. I believe it was House Bill 85, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's a pretty wide-sweeping bill. It basically indicates that we're not going to use Missouri resources to enforce federal gun laws that we believe to be unconstitutional. It has a pretty strong penalty provision for local departments that decide to violate that provision. It allows a civil suit against a police department, for example, where you can collect damages if your rights have been violated. Personally, I happen to prefer the original version of the bill that actually held individual law enforcement officers accountable, because I do think it's important that while we do respect our law enforcement, we recognize that they work for the government, and like any other government employee, I think that you should be personally responsible when you commit a crime.
You know, it is interesting that normally I've found Republicans don't like bureaucrats, but if you're a cop, they love you. This is the first time I've seen the cops be like, whoa, guys, this is too much. And the House went right on with it.
It's shameful, actually. This is truly a Republican bill that will defund the police, and it's going to be a huge danger to public safety all around the state of Missouri. So this bill is going to be deadly for Missourians if it were to pass. I don't believe it will pass because it's so blatantly unconstitutional. A great example of why this will be deadly for Missourians is Missouri does not have any state law regarding background checks. So we have to follow federal law as it relates to background checks for gun purchases. If this bill were to go into effect, we would be leaving victims of abuse out there with no way for these background checks to keep guns out of their convicted abusers' hands.
Is this kind of where the Republican Party won a lot of elections on guns in the 90s? They've won some elections on loving cops recently. These things may be passing in the night now.
Well, I think it's an overreach, and I think that sometimes the legislature looks to solve problems that don't exist. And I think this is an overreach. I think it's probably an overreach from Tracy to say that Republicans are trying to defund the police coming from a Democrat perspective, but it's a good
talking. Oh, you're telling
point.
Me that defund the police narrative has been an overreach from someone I don't believe you. Representative, let me ask you about education. This is, as I've watched the Republican caucus change, your area used to have a lot of folks that maybe thought differently than the average caucus member. Now that caucus is pretty well in lockstep on almost everything, except you have some rural Republicans. They like their schools. They don't want them to be harassed. You have some St. Louis people that want to change their schools, and you have some St. Charles folks that have kind of come on the board of changing. It is the last thing where I think you can honestly say there's a decent group in your caucus that think differently than the main. Are you going to be able to pass a bill out of the House that does force a charter school onto West Plains?
I think we're going to pass something. I think more than likely there is a reality that there will be compromise. There's a large contingent of folks that I think would prefer to just go for the whole hog, but I think the reality is this is going to be an incremental process. That being said, I don't necessarily think that that's really the discussion that we're having. I think, if you like your school, your school's probably not going to be affected by most of these reforms.
I heard a president say that one thing about their doctor once, and I don't trust the government, and I don't know that I trust the government when they say that either. If you're at Woodland Elementary in Marble Hill, why should you want Rick Francis to mess with your school?
Well, the real question, or the way to ask it, is that why do you want this debate stopping any kind of reform that might actually improve your school in West Butler County, East Butler County,
or when's the last time you was in Fredericktown and some old boy from St. Louis came down and was going to help you out and wanted to help you? I mean, there's a lot of picking and pokes have been sold in Fredericktown from St. Louis.
You don't see that, but I do think this, and those that have been around the Capitol like yourself for years know that when one interest group has such massive control for so long and absolutely has pushed back every single meaningful reform that wasn't tied to getting more money, that at some time that is going to turn against them. And I think we're at that time, and I think you're seeing rural school districts that are being penalized because of this debate. And I think unless we get past this debate, we're not going to move forward with education reform. And the point that half of the educrats say, well, it's not really going to do anything, so why pass it? Well, if it's not going to do anything, why don't you pass it and let's move on? The fact is that the educrats have been absolutely against any kind of accountability. The lobbyists have become more about the lobbyists for their own interest rather than for the children. And they have not allowed reformers to be in the room and actually make decisions. And so I think that pressure point is going to change things.
I think there's a lot of folks in Jackson that will be Facebook messaging their friend David Barklage. I don't think Jackson wants to change the school. It is interesting. You've got folks, if you're in Jackson, Missouri, and you know what a charter school is, you're against it. Right. So why should Barry Hovis vote against something none of his constituents want?
Well, that's the thing, and these reforms are so extreme that I think the average Missourian realizes that the charter bill and the voucher bills will take resources away from our neighborhood traditional schools and send money into these for-profit schools that aren't held to the same accountability
but
standards.
That's what St. Louis does. Why don't they just keep doing it in St. Louis?
Well, I think that I do not think Missouri legislature should be passing laws specific to certain parts of the state. If it's good for urban and suburban areas, it should be good for the entire state.
We're going to have to build a wall around the Merrimack to keep all the St. Louis ideas in St. Louis, maybe. Let's talk about a St. Louisan running for U.S. Senate, Scott Sifton, very serious state senator, contributed a great deal to even bills he voted against, running against Roy Blunt. Boy, it looks like an uphill challenge. You got Biden in the White House, Democratic control all over. If I'm Roy Blunt, I got to feel good going into reelection.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that Mr. Sifton knows that it's an uphill battle because he doesn't seem to be running against Roy Blunt. All of his talking points have been as if he's running against Josh Hawley. So I think he recognizes the challenge
that.
Is perhaps a little bit larger than he might have preferred.
You know, there's 100 U.S. senators. I'm of the opinion Roy Blunt's 100. He's just the top guy. He's the top U.S. senator that produces from Missouri. No matter your NGA, Rocheport Bridge. He's a reasonable guy. I think it's, if I'm a Democrat, it's hard to get too fired up about somebody like Roy Blunt.
Well, Senator Blunt has always been very supportive of community health centers, for example.
Yeah.
So he's very much out in the community and supportive. But former State Senator Scott Sifton has shown that he can win against a Republican. Against a Republican in Trump's wave in 2016. And I truly believe a Democrat like Scott Sifton can beat Senator Blunt and win next year for the U.S. Senate.
I mean, you start driving around the state, you look at stuff Kit Bond did. Roy Blunt's delivered dollars that are starting to rival what Kit Bond used to deliver. Hard to beat that.
Yeah, except, look, he's got the same voice as AOL, as ACO, excuse me. Cora Bush, Nancy Pelosi. He voted against gun rights, voted for late-term abortions, voted against cutting taxes, voted against the Keystone Pipeline. His issues fall in line with the national Democrats, and after you saw Parson win by 17, Roy Blunt will win by double digits as well.
We got to get out of here if we're going to win. So who won the week?
I think bipartisanship in the Missouri House won the week. A committee led by Representative J.R. Taylor has really pushed back against the governor, urging the state screwed up. The state gave unemployment money to people that were not fraudulently asking for it. The state screwed up, and now they're asking unemployed people to pay back thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's just cruel.
Well, Godspeed. The government's been getting over on people forever. Maybe y'all can get over on them.
Got to go with MoDOT. They cleared the roads, and it snowed like 7 times. No one's angry.
I like that.
Me, because I married up.
You did?
I married up. My wife, Audra, is kind, beautiful, smart,
and you
and
have
fierce.
To read that?
Obviously.
And happy Valentine's. Did you just say that? I just didn't want to say the wrong term.
I don't know how to beat Audra. She is the most patient woman I've ever seen. But I'm going to say Tim Garrison ended a very successful term as U.S. attorney, and I would say possibly might be talking on this show one day as a candidate for office. We hope you'll be back, not possibly, certainly with us next week on This Week in Missouri Politics.
Did you throw me?
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.